Like, I'm not telling you have to get in a relationship. No one's making you. But if you can't do that when you're single, there's no chance you're going to be able to do that when you're then in a relationship. You'll get yourself all caught up in codependency of intertwining your lives way too quickly. Because if you're reinforcing the thing that says, I'm no good because I'm single, then that's a problem. Hello and welcome to the Single Girl's Guide to Life, your weekly guide for single millennials who are navigating living alone, dating and learning how to live their best single life regardless of their relationship status. It's fantastic to have you back here, and I want to get straight on with a topic that comes up in each of my coaching programs. Is a question that I ask because it's important to start questioning, but I wanted to bring it to more people. I wanted it to be a discussion because it is so common to experience this yet not necessarily address it. And what I want to ask you today and center this discussion around is, what's wrong with being single? Now, the problem is that there seems to be a lot of negative connotations around the idea of being single. There is an ongoing societal pressure that we feel, and other people that aren't single seem to sometimes imagine that this isn't a thing. Like, I'm not telling you have to get in a relationship. No one's making you. No one's doing it. No, they aren't. However, there is still this underlying judgment that exists. There is still people that say things that are unhelpful to those that are single and would like to otherwise be in a relationship and would really want that. And sometimes things can be said or things go unsaid, actually, that make single people not feel as valued in society or like they're doing the right thing. So, for example, conversations that only ever encourage a single person to date and imply that they will be happier once they are dating or in a relationship implies that that single person is not happy right now. Or overlooking the achievements of a single person compared to the traditionally celebrated milestones of life. So it's very easy and obvious to see what is celebrated in couples' lives: moving into a house together, getting engaged, announcing a pregnancy, a gender reveal, actually getting married, giving birth, are all clear key points that are celebrated, not just by them, but also their family, but also, for example, like workplaces. You know, gathering together to buy presents, to wish people well for those things. And yes, it's because as a society, we've decided that that is what a lot of us do, and it's something to be proud of. I don't want to take away from doing those things, whether you're in a couple or not, actually, it should be celebrated. But they're very much associated with family life and couple life. And I do think there would be a very big difference, potentially, between someone saying that they're pregnant, having been married for a number of years, and that seeming to be the natural progression, versus maybe a single person announcing their pregnancy. And there would be a lot more question marks around that in terms of, wait, how, what, who, you're going ahead with it. There'd be a lot more doubt as opposed to the usual expected trajectory. And this is what I mean. It's the underlying tone, the things that you might not even think about or consider. Now, the purpose of today's episode is to challenge some of that, as I'm starting to do. I'm trying to bring it to the attention. Now, as the person listening, chances are you are single. So this is one of those episodes where it's going to allow you to understand that you're not the only one that feels like that. Because the only way I've established this fully is, one, experiencing it myself when I was single, and two, hearing it from other single women that have been within my coaching programs predominantly. Part of their responses, I was listening back to them the other day, are in this podcast episode. They, their opinions, their experiences, as well as my own, what I wrote before I went back to that video, tell us how people feel, what's wrong with being single. And then I'll talk you through some ideas of moving through that. So firstly, let's not forget the benefits of being single. It's always easier to see the benefits of this and see them as benefits if we've chosen to be single. For example, taking a step back from dating, deciding that you're just going to enjoy your life regardless of your relationship status. So if you're currently feeling that, like, I just wish I was in a relationship, this is really hard, but it could serve as a useful reminder of why this is not the worst situation in the world. There is so much freedom and independence of single life. Now, I've been able to maintain that even now moving into a relationship. Because I have my own space, I still live a clearly independent life to my boyfriend. There is no rushing in this scenario. Yes, we talk a lot. I think that's the only thing that you would say is significantly different in my life. And yes, I have someone that I can speak to at the end of the day. When you're single, that's not there. But you do have the beauty of the freedom and independence. There is not that duty to fulfill to talk to someone and check in every day, if not nearly every day. You can do things generally at the drop of a hat. Now, I'm lucky because we still have a good amount of distance early on in our relationship. I still can do that. But if you can't do that when you're single, there's no chance you're going to be able to do that when you're then in a relationship. You'll get yourself all caught up in codependency of intertwining your lives way too quickly and not maintaining your sense of self, which causes all kinds of problems when we're then in a relationship. That is the problem. But now you could do what you want. You can do what you like. I know I'm not going to be able to get away with very easily a yellow background, a yellow wall in my life if I ever combine houses with anyone. Like, I will do my best because I'm not going to quash my personality and my creativity. But I didn't have to check with anyone. I didn't have to think about negotiation of where colour was going to be or not. It just happened. I don't need to think about timings of other people. I don't need to think about different schedules of other people. Because generally speaking, when I was single, that was never an issue. And you have that beauty. You have that advantage. With that comes extra time. Different if you're a single parent. I know time is a bit more limited. But even so, without having yet another person to think about, you have more time. And this is, if you're wasting it, then you need to get on it. But hopefully, because you're listening to this podcast, you're doing this already. But this is a time for personal development and growth. I had so much more space in my life after my previous relationship ended, because even though we didn't spend a lot of time together in person, just because the way our schedules worked, like I spent over the evenings on my own and they did too, but in the mornings, I just had more headspace. Like, I wasn't thinking so much about anyone but myself. And you guys know it. You've seen the bookshelf. There's tons of books. There's books spread out everywhere around me right now. And I channel that now into, obviously, the business. And I share that with you through the book club in the Single Girls Club. You're getting Tuesday thoughts from me in the Single Girls Club online. That comes from when I listen to a podcast and go, oh God, I need to share this with the girls. I need to make sure they know this as well. That is our place for personal development, as well as making friends. So there's all these different ways you can do it. Go read your book, find a podcast, join a small membership that you can join in with and actually progress through. This is your time to go and learn about yourself and find what's important to you. You don't have to be a carbon copy of me. You don't have to be a carbon copy of anybody else. But there are some key things in single life I think you should be doing and working on, which is independence, confidence, self-reliance, emotional connection to self, so intuition in some way. Another side of it is also experimenting with your hobbies and interests. Another part of finding out about yourself is what you like. I thoroughly love creativity in certain ways. Like, I don't want to sit there and paint. I would paint, but it's not something I'm gonna go out of my way to do. I love content creation, whether that is the podcast, whether that is video creation. I also really like big concepts. If you follow on TikTok, you get loads more of this because they were in very short forms. And then on the Tuesday Thoughts, it comes in even more. I like questioning the big things. Last week's podcast episode was big. I went to town on that and I loved it. That's what I want to be doing. It's what I do in my classrooms in PSHE when we're dealing with teenage level problems or whatever topic we happen to be doing. But I like big questions and conversations. I don't have all the answers yet, but they're the things I love. And I was able to work that out. That was where that instinctive pull was coming from. I've been talking about this in the book club, where we're talking about untamed, where you can feel something pushing inside of you to like go and do something, but you're like, oh, what is that? Like, that's not the normal. That's not what everyone else is doing. I had this desire to really start sharing with other people the ideas I was having. And that kept driving me over time. It took about a year, really, it sounds like. Now I think about all the timings, a year to go, I really want to do this. Like, I really want to make this kind of happen. And I could only have done that by giving myself the space, by actually letting my ideas come into the fray. Because as much as I went to a very good secondary school, one of the top, I think it's top in the country a lot of the time, state schools anyway, I don't feel that they managed particularly well to encourage me to talk out loud or to form very clear opinions and to be opinionated. I feel I'm very much good at that now. I think I used to think them. I just don't think I used to say them at school. I lacked some clear sense of confidence. It was an all-girls school. I wonder if it was just about the safety of like not putting myself out there too much for, I don't know, getting run down with arguments that I don't think I could match. Now I'm a lot more confident in what I understand. I'm better at listening to other people in general. It makes me a better debater, arguer, if you want to talk. Like, it's not arguing in a heated sense, but I'd like to have back forth discussions. And I like to play devil's advocate too, especially when I'm undecided about something. So I've learned that in myself, and I finally gave myself the space to do that. It took me to 25, 26 year olds to do it, but I'm really, really there with it now. And I was probably forming some of that when I was a teacher as well through my opinions of how school should be. And of course, it comes down to friendship, making sure that you deepen the friendships that matter to you most, are existent in your life already, but also then giving the opportunity to meet new people, have experiences with new people. I've been on plenty of experiences and trips. I've loved the people that I'm still in touch with. Like, even briefly, someone did like a roundup of their year, and I was in it a couple of times, and just watching their roundup, which, you know, was a heavy feature of Tomorrowland in there, I felt so like sad. I keep thinking about Tomorrowland and I'm really sad that I'm still not there. I actually have COVID, it turned out, in the end when I was in Tomorrowland. Terrible, really. I didn't know till I was at home and I was able to test. It turns out that's what I had when I was there. And that's really hard because I know I didn't enjoy it to some degree. I couldn't be as present as I wanted to be because the first day that apparently affected me, I was really bad. Anyway, I just feel like I missed a couple of key moments of like memories and stuff. I would love to go again, but I also don't want to tarnish that experience. Like, and it costs a lot of money. So, but I loved seeing it. And I said to them, like, let me know when you're back in London. This person's from America. So then they are going to come back to London. I know they will because they seem to be a traveler. They like to explore the world. But I want to see them again and just have that little, you know, touch. But I don't need to speak to them all the time. So they're the people that I have kept in touch with. They're not like my best friends ever that I need to rely on for emotional support because I've built that elsewhere. But there's all these rooms for these other relationships that aren't your romantic partnerships. So don't forget that. Now let's come to what the drawbacks are of single life in reality, but also perceived in that sense. Loneliness is the reason that I do what I do. People can say to me that I am single and I don't feel lonely. In fact, I love being on my own. I love the extra time on my own. That's great for you. Unfortunately, just so you know, that's not how everyone that's single feels. If you're at that state, congratulations if it's never been a problem for you, and well done if you've managed to move to that point. But let's be really clear that being single is a risk factor for loneliness. That comes from a set of research that looked at certain groups that were at risk of that. And I think, one, that's because of natural isolation of single life, and two, because of the judgment. Other groups that were included in that were the elderly. That makes sense. Isolation. There was LGBT. I think that's going to be having community and the lack of, potentially. Like, if you're in London, Brighton, Manchester, if you looked at the data that came out the other week about hotspots for those that identified or fitted in the category of LGBT, they were hotspots for that around the country. But there were some other places that really didn't have, percentage-wise, a lot. And even those percentages were quite low. I think they're around like 5%, roughly, whereas most other places are like 1%. Like, imagine if 1% of your community is LGBTQ+, and you want to try and find community. That's hard. Like, we're single women trying to find one another, and that's hard enough. And there's roughly, what, 50% of the population are female? Let's just say it's half. Half of those people are single. So 25% of the population can't find each other. What? A little bit less because of ages. But even so, it's that idea of having a sense of belonging, I think. So this is why I've always done what I've done. Loneliness was the key thing. Loneliness is the thing that I help people overcome. And I believe you do that in a number of ways. I believe you do that through connection. So I believe that you need to connect to yourself and know who you really are. You need to connect to a community in a whole bunch of ways. So you need your inner circle. You need a wider community like the Single Girls Club to find other singles that are like you and that get it. And if you can't find that community, you listen to this podcast because it makes you feel like there's got to be some people out there. But we have that space if you want to join us. And then it's being able to be courageous within that aspect, like setting and maintaining boundaries the right way, pushing yourself to do new things. And within the book, there is more to it, you know, connection to meaningful values. It comes down to, what do you really value? Are you valuing the wrong things in life? But loneliness and feelings of loneliness are really difficult to manage. And it is deeper than just spending time with people, because I could spend time with people that were my friends. I could spend time talking to them and it would be okay for that time. Oh, it's really bad. But then when I left, I would be in floods of tears. And that was the hardest bit. Now, this was not necessarily caused by my singleness. it was caused by my lack of purpose in changing jobs. That's what it was like when I was going through the transition period this time last year. And that wasn't to do with my relationship status. In fact, a relationship at that time, which is why I was completely void of dating during that section at all. January, February, there was no, not even a look in on it. But that is where I felt the loneliness the most. And for me, linked to my workplace and the lack of belonging, I lost, as much as it was the right thing to do, I lost a sense of belonging from not going into school every day like I had been for 4 years at my previous school. I absolutely adore my previous school. I loved the children that were there, and I'm sure there are children still, there are still children there that I tutor a little bit now. And I adored every single pupil that I taught in some way, even the ones that were difficult. But that sense of loss was really, really hard. And that's where my loneliness hit the most. So I wonder if it's also this element of loss. And when we are transitioning from being in a relationship to being single, the feelings of loneliness are greater because we're losing that person. We're losing that identity of who we are in that moment. And that increases the feelings of loneliness there as well. And it creeps in. Like, I wasn't void of loneliness when I left my marriage. It just wasn't as vast and big as when it was last year. And it used to sort of come and go more often in that section, whereas this was like a heavy hit. So it comes about for lots of different reasons, but this is very real. However, as I mentioned at the start, not everybody in single life feels lonely. And just because we're single doesn't mean that you feel lonely all of the time. Loneliness is a feeling. It doesn't mean that you're experiencing that 24/7. And the judgment of other people that we are completely lonely and that loneliness makes us sad is incorrect. It just means that we experience it too. I felt lonely in my previous relationship. And I know plenty of other people that have said to me, I'm in a relationship and I feel lonely. People say to me, can I join the single girls club? I'm not even single. And I'm like, that's wonderful. Not really. Like, I understand why you want to be here. I understand you want to make friends. Totally makes sense. But quite frankly, we're trying to find single people so they can help find each other. But loneliness is an endemic and of its own. It's a problem because we don't connect with other people well enough. We're struggling to make friendships in our adult lives. I said it last week, 50% of people's closest friends came from work and now we're all starting to work from home. What? Oh God. Like, I get it. Work from home is a great idea. She says, sitting here working from home. But hey, look at me this time last year. I was struggling when I didn't have a workplace to go to. The minute I had work and I was going into a workplace, just 1 or 2 days here and there, it was very casual. It literally changed my entire mood straight away. It's mad. And I love working from home. It's what I do the majority of time. I literally work 2 days a week in a workplace. So it doesn't even have to be lots. But loneliness is very real. It's a higher risk factor when you're single because you come home and there's no one there. You can come home at 5 p.m. and you might not speak to anybody in person until 7 a.m. the next day. I had this exact thing. I think it was after the single girls getaway. So the girls had left mostly by about 11, but then I didn't really speak to anyone after sort of 12, half 12 when the last girl went. And I got home, drove home, sorted all the bits out, settled down, ordered myself a takeaway because there's absolutely no way I was cooking after that. It was a fantastic weekend, but I was shattered. And then it was then when I took a call from my boyfriend that as I went to say hello, I had like a proper frog in my throat because I hadn't spoken. I had not physically spoken out loud. And normally I'm very good at talking to myself, but apparently I hadn't done that. I had to clear my throat because I hadn't spoken to anyone for what was probably, I would have spoken to him about 9:30, I would have thought. So, you know, 9 hours of saying nothing. And that perpetually, every single day, can take its toll. Then there's the frustrations on top of it. There's no one to share the tasks with. There's no one to vent to easily at the end of the day. Now, this is why you need to have your community sorted out. And it's what we work on in the Single Life Confidence Program. But you need to have the people that you do vent to. And I'll go to certain people about particular things. So if I'm talking about relationships or dating, I'll go one way. If I'm talking about life, like the way society is, I'll go to other people. They very much go different ways depending on what it is. So I found that connection in my life, the things that might just be supported by a romantic partnership in other people. And this is why even now in a relationship, I'm not afraid of that relationship disappearing. I would like it to work out, obviously, but I know I have other methods and tools and I rely still on these people for these outlets. I don't lose that value for them. I keep my friendships up there. I want to see people. I want to stay in touch. I want to talk to them. And I want our friendship to maintain regardless of my relationship status. But you do naturally lack that companionship. And that is harder. Does it always make you happier? Come see, come sir. So yes, you do have that as a default and you can choose when to try and spend some time alone. There is an advantage to that. But you also have to deal with the flip side of someone else's emotions, the way that they are, them making decisions. There's a lot more uncontrollable factors in your life when you're in a relationship. Now, that is another area that we can get some judgment for when we choose to be or are single. And that comes down to when society seems to make this view that you're too immature to be in a relationship, that you're not fully ready for it, that you're so self-centered, so focused on yourself, too independent to need anybody else in your life. And I say, what's wrong with that? Why do we have to, at any adult moment of our lives, give it up for somebody else? I'm not saying that you'll never be prepared to spend more time with someone else, but actually, I know the reason I left my marriage was because I wanted to be on my own. It wasn't that I wanted to be with anyone different. I kept having this internal pull, yet again, knowing inside that there was something that was telling me that was wrong. I knew there was this question that kept popping up saying, I don't know who I am on my own and it's really bugging me. Like I really want to work out who I am. I really want to know what I'm like without anybody else there. I had been in a relationship from the age of 19 to 26. Whatever judgment you make of that in terms of being married and then divorced, we were quite successful in the way that we communicated. And just because it ended in divorce doesn't mean it was the worst thing in the world. Other people stay in worse situations, I'm telling you now, and that means that their relationship is not all that. But I was indifferent. That's the word I continue to use. But I was living a life with someone else for nearly the majority of my entire adult life. I still haven't had that many years back, or even comparably, of being on my own in adult life. 3 years versus the 7 that I was in a relationship with that person plus 2 with another. I've done a third of time on my own versus the 3 times the amount with someone else. How does spending 3 years on my own make me self-centered and self-absorbed? I don't agree. And so even if I decided for another 3 to 6 years that I wanted to spend it on my own, or even another 15, so what? I did encourage somebody else into my life. I had a decent time. It was good in lots of ways. But I still wanted to experience the difference of that. And for a lot of that time, I was predominantly focused just on me. And I was working on myself. I think if anything, I am more qualified and responsible to be in a relationship now than I ever was in the time that I was before. Because who teaches you about relationships? I mean, I do. That's what I'm literally here talking about. But when we were growing up, do we get told about it? What makes you qualified to be in a relationship? Nothing. We just assume that we can all walk into them and that we're going to be okay at them. Yes, we're all learning on the job. But actually, if you step back and you learn and you explore through books, through podcasts, you're much better equipped to be in a relationship. Just because someone's in a relationship does not make them better equipped to be in a relationship. Like, they might not have the emotional intelligence. They might not be the best communicator. Unfortunately, some people are just stuck in those scenarios, or some people are so afraid to leave those people that are not making it well that, yeah, it doesn't, just because you're the one in a relationship doesn't mean that you're the best at a relationship. It just means that you're there, that you found someone that would say yes, and you might so happen to just kept sticking with it because it was easier than leaving. I hate to say it. That's potential reality for some. And this is it. Sometimes society is the ones that makes us feel that we aren't worthy because we're single. And what you have to learn to do is to accept your relationship status, to love the fact that you get the opportunity to be just on your own. And you're like, but I don't want to be, but you do. I promise you, there is an opportunity here. There's a chance to just take it easy. And continue to work on yourself and be optimistic that at some point, someone will come into your life at the right time. And it's really difficult to face that. But if you can keep that optimism, if you can maintain that positive outlook, it will change the way that you go into dating. It will change the way that you live your life. One of the things that one of my inner circle's husband said to me, he said, if I had known when I was going to meet what is now my best friend, but their husband, if I knew I was going to meet them then, I would have stopped worrying in my 20s. But I was so worried all the time about when I was going to meet someone, I kind of wasted them. And I think that's sound advice to anybody. It doesn't matter what age you are. If you just have faith and optimism that at some point you will come across someone because there's so many opportunities to do so, then you'll be out there living your life in the best possible way, and then you'll literally attract that right person in. I'm not fully into the law of attraction, but I do just believe that if you're presenting as a happy-go-lucky person because you genuinely are, then you're going to naturally gravitate positive people towards you and people that are like you. Whereas if you're out there and every opportunity you get, you moan about single life, you'll notice that any single girls club event, if someone moans about dating, it's not something I massively entertain. I will validate your feeling and your experience. It's not the conversation that I instigate with people, because the single girls club is not about man hating. It's not about hating dating. It's not about slagging it off all the time. It's about sharing frustrations, realizing that you're not alone, and working with those frustrations so that you can actually enjoy the experience of single life, of being independent, of being on your own, of learning to love yourself, of learning to finding a belonging that you really fit into, where people love and accept you for who you are, mistakes and bad sides to you and everything, and that you can date when you're eventually ready to go out there and celebrate. What's wrong with being single is the stories that we tell ourselves about being single. It's the stories that we let ourselves believe because of society. And obviously, if people keep saying it, it does make you question it. It changes the way you think. But if you can keep working against that by listening to alternative approaches to it, to realizing that it's the way that other people are making us feel, and we're allowing them to do that, then you get to start making those shifts that mean that you can go out there and enjoy your single life, and you won't then accept less until someone that's actually worthy of your time and energy comes along. These judgments of single life shouldn't be determining your worth and what you think about yourself. They shouldn't be telling us how happy we can or can't be. Yes, loneliness is a higher risk factor for those that are single. Any stat doesn't mean that everybody in that case feels that way. And once you can let go of what you think other people think about you because you're single, will unlock your ability to enjoy your life, to accept your relationship status, and to crack on doing the things no matter what your relationship status is. My life has not changed because I'm in a relationship. My Instagram looks hardly any different. The things I do day to day don't look any different, because a relationship doesn't change who I am and what I do. This is what the Single Girls Club is all about. It's here to make you remember that single life is not any worse than being in a relationship. It's to make you realize there are other girls out there just like you that share those same frustrations, but we're still going to get on with our lives. We're going to work on ourselves. We do that in the Single Girls Club every week with thoughts, with contributions, working through the challenges that I put in there that run monthly, and the coaching sessions. Plus, we get to chat along as well at times too. It's all there for you to access, to come together, to celebrate single life, and to make sure that you don't sit there thinking that there's something wrong with you just because you're single. Let me know how that's affected the way that you're going to start this next weekend or week off, depending on when you're listening to it. Make sure you give this some time. It's important that you shift your mindset. Your mindset has to come first before anything, because if you're reinforcing the thing that says, I'm no good because I'm single, why doesn't anybody want to be with me? Is there something wrong with me? Then that's a problem if you're reinforcing it. Stop it. Catch yourself. Stop it. Change it. That's what I need you to do this week. Until next time, everybody, keep celebrating single life together.